Hello, I'm Kathleen Dunn. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Monday, the 6th of October, all things political this hour. We have the perfect guest because he attended the vice presidential debate last Thursday in St. Louis. He's a professor at Washington University in St. Louis. We'll be previewing tomorrow night's presidential debate. We'll be looking at how the economy keeps faltering. It looks like it's going to be, well, maybe it won't be, but at the moment it looks like it's not a good day on Wall Street. How does that factor in as we enter the last 29 days, can you believe it, of the presidential race? We've been covering it for a long period of time, and we'll continue to cover it pretty thoroughly in just a moment. We are, as you know, having a little pledge drive, and I'm here today with Rhonda Fanning. It's our fall membership drive, and we're here to ask your support of Wisconsin Public Radio. Listener donations, as you know, are really the foundation of our budget, and that's why we're asking for your gift right now. Make your pledge of support at WPR.org, or you can call toll-free 888-202-2552. Good morning, Rhonda.
Good morning, Kathleen. Good to be here. We have a goal this hour of $3,000, and meeting that goal will help us make this program possible in the months to come. All of these All Things Political on Monday mornings, we brought you through the primaries and into the election, so please make a donation today. Pledge now online at WPR.org or toll-free at 888-202-2552.
Wisconsin Public Radio is listener-supported, as you probably know, and that means that one-third of our budget comes from your contributions. So we're coming to you today to ask for your financial support of the programming that you love and rely on each day. Rhonda talked about the primaries, which seems so long ago now, and into the presidential election and significant races, which we'll talk about this hour, in the Senate and in the House. We've just loved doing this, and we've done it every Monday and beyond. So if you love this political coverage, please call with your pledge at 888-202-2552.
A contribution of any amount makes you a member of Wisconsin Public Radio. So please take a moment to think about what Wisconsin Public Radio is worth to you. What have we meant to you? How many times have you tuned in to Kathleen's All Things Political show on Monday morning or look forward to it all weekend? Because you value this kind of programming, make your pledge of support. You can do it securely online at WPR.org, or you can give one of our volunteers a call at 888-202-2552.
And we're on the air right now to invite you to help pay for another great year of essential programming. Go to WPR.org. That's pretty easy. Or you can call 888-202-2552, and you'll be doing your part to support the programs that you count on each day. Rhonda said you look forward to Mondays. I love doing this show on Mondays. I love politics, as you know, and Rhonda does too. And so we love to bring this to you, and we brought you a long way, and we'll keep bringing you through till the end of the race and beyond. You choose the amount to give, and then just go to WPR.org, or again, call 888-202-2552 and become a member today.
And that's right. We have $3,000 goal this hour. So please be the first one to call in for Kathleen's Monday morning show at 202-2552.
You turn on the radio, and each time there's something good on, but if you travel around the country, you realize that we have a real gem here in Wisconsin. We hear from a lot of listeners, and actually we hear from guests, too, who always talk about how smart you are, how engaged you are, and we talk to people who have come back from road trips and tell us what a new appreciation they have for Wisconsin Public Radio. We're proud of what we have here, and you can be, too. Please call online at WPR.org. You can pledge or toll free at 888-202-2552. 888-202-2552. Mondays is always All Things Political here during this 9 o'clock hour, and we only have 29 days to go until the presidential election. We haven't had a chance yet to dissect the vice presidential debate, which took place last Thursday at Washington University in St. Louis, and our guest was at the debate. We're also going to be previewing tomorrow night's debate. We haven't spent a lot of time looking at the Senate races for this election season, and all the House seats, of course, are up for grabs, so we'll be looking at whether or not There will be significant changes. Will the Democrats pick up more seats, as is predicted in both the Senate and the House? And the campaign has become a little bit nasty. Sarah Palin over the weekend claiming that Democrat Barack Obama is palling around with terrorists and doesn't see the United States like other Americans. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about the Keating Five and whether or not that's up for grabs. Or would you prefer that all the conversation go another direction? Our phone number for you to join our conversation this morning is 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. And we welcome your phone calls. Let's talk politics. Stephen Smith is our guest, director of the Center on the Economy, Government, and Public Policy, and professor of political science at Washington University in St. Louis. As I said, he was at the vice presidential debate last Thursday night, so we'll begin with that. Professor Smith, hello. Thanks so much for being with us.
My pleasure.
Yeah. Well, it was quite a debate, wasn't it?
Well,
it's
it was.
Funny that that's what we're talking about, even more than the presidential debates.
Well, yeah, but, you know, the sequence of events comes quickly here. With the presidential debate tomorrow night, I noticed that really over the course of Sunday, the news shifted on the cable talk shows from the vice presidential debate to what McCain and will plan to do to try to recover his ground and what Obama will do in defense.
Mm-hmm. So tell me, what was it like to sit in the audience?
Well, there was a lot of anticipation, as you can imagine. An audience like that's full of partisans. the parties allocate tickets, but you know it's a pretty tame crowd. They're all warned repeatedly in the half hour leading up to the starting point to keep quiet. But there's a lot of anticipation. There was this is a big circus when you have a vice presidential or presidential debate. And while there are a few hundred people in the studio where the debate takes place, which is almost always a gymnasium that's made into a giant television studio, there are thousands of people in the vicinity.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of gymnasiums full of national media.
Oh my gosh!
Lots of vendors. Media are all outside the building with rows and rows of stand-up sites for news anchors from all over the country.
Hmm.
It's really quite a festival. Really, it has that kind of a feel to it. And this time, of course, the feeling was that this was a vice presidential debate that could actually affect the outcome. And so there was real tension. By the time I think you got 15 or 20 minutes into debate, there was a palpable sense of relief that nothing huge was going to happen in
mm-hmm.
that debate.
So what do you think? If it was a debate that could affect the outcome, did it?
You know, I don't think so.
Hmm.
It at least not in as big a way as it might have. The there was the possibility that if Governor Palin's performance in the debate was as poor as it was in her interviews with the news media in the 10 days leading up to the debate, that it could seriously hamper the McCain campaign by calling into question his judgment in naming her to the ticket. But I think what happened instead was that certainly Republicans and probably a lot of undecided voters came away thinking that, well, she held her own. She may not have won it, but she didn't do especially poorly. She at least was forthright. She stood up to a very experienced politician in Joe Biden and survived it. And survival, I guess, is really what they were looking for so they could get back to a regular campaign. The McCain campaign was, I think, badly distracted by all the bad press that she received over the previous week or so.
Right. And as you sat there, what did you think of each candidate's performance, Professor Smith?
Well, my summary on it is that I thought that Biden won handily on debaters' points, but that Palin probably won narrowly on, well, style points, that she came across as the more likable of the two candidates. Certainly smiled more often.
She did,
and
winks.
Of course, that would be irritating, the way she handled it. But I think that that you know, her general demeanor was probably more effective, but that Biden on substance clearly was better prepared, and I think that's more or less what the polls showed. So there I was taking notes, and I sort of gave up after sort of the seventh or eighth substantive issue, in which Biden had clearly provided more substance than Governor Palin did. On the other hand, he oftentimes undermined his effectiveness, I thought, by style, by speaking too quickly, by rattling off a long series of points that were probably, for the uninitiated anyway, difficult to follow. So I think that it wasn't a completely one-sided affair, but I do think that it's fair to say that because he probably scored so much more highly on substance than Governor Palin, that he probably won the debate.
Right.
That's what the polls show.
And then she really took the gloves off over the weekend, talking about,
yeah.
Now here's a total change of topic. Democrat
sure.
Barack Obama is palling around with terrorists, doesn't
yeah.
see the U.S. like other Americans. An AP columnist indicated that this may even be a subtle form of racism. Is this a wise strategy for them to go this direction?
Well, I think there's two parts. One is that if you're behind and you don't seem to be able to hold your own on issues because events are working against you, the financial crisis, then you go after your opponent on other dimensions, on personal grounds. And so this is fairly standard campaign strategy. You know, from the point of view of the of keeping the debate at a high plane, it's disappointing to see that, needless to say. But, an objective observer would say, yeah, that's exactly what you'd expect. What strategic options do they have? To talk more about the economy will only draw more attention to an issue that's not working to their advantage. To focus on other issues will be to, you know, be speaking to an empty chamber because no one's listening on those other issues. So, this isn't too surprising. It's also not too surprising that you'd want your vice presidential candidate to play this role. You'd prefer that the presidential candidate kept his negatives to a minimum and focused on more positive policy stances, and you'd hope your running mate would do some of the dirty work. That's exactly what Obama was said to have been doing when he named Joe Biden to his ticket.
Right. So tomorrow night, Senator McCain has said the gloves will come off tomorrow night, considering what's going on with world financial markets today
yeah.
and so far the stock market this morning. Who knows how it will end the day.
Right.
But the economic news is not very good. The bailout it hasn't settled everything economically. Does that mean tomorrow night again the focus on the economy?
I think so. Inevitably, Obama will give it a great deal of focus. He'll keep bringing us back to that, and he'll keep bringing us back, of course, to the McCain connection to the Bush years. That's his strong suit. McCain is going to, I'm sure, emphasize that there's plenty of blame to be assigned to both parties for the mess we're in, and that what we really ought to do is focus on the future, and he'll claim that he has a better approach and will insist that we need bipartisanship, and he has the track record of providing it. That's all very predictable, it seems to me.
Mm-hmm.
The only open question is, when he says the gloves are going to come off, exactly what that means. You know, for a lot of people, the gloves have been off for a long time.
Right.
So exactly how much more bare-knuckled can you get than you've been already? And so, we saw a bit of it, as you say, with Governor Palin yesterday, but it's not clear to me that John McCain wants to drive up his negatives by going too negative himself in a debate. A debate's not a great place to go negative. You know, if you watched, say, on CNN or some of the other networks that showed basically a feeling thermometer, they had focus groups just simply use a dial to tell us their reactions to what they were seeing in real time there in the debate. And every time that McCain went negative in the first debate against Obama, his ratings went down. And every time that Obama ignored a question and
right.
instead tried to address a larger issue to raise the plane of the debate, his ratings went up. So there's a real danger in going on the attack too much. It leaves a kind of a negative impression of you. And so there's and I think it's one of the reasons that McCain was judged to have lost the debate in the first round. So they're in a very difficult spot. You know, part of the problem here, Kathleen, is if you're behind, there's hardly any good strategy.
Right.
You're looking for a way to reach those undecided voters, to bring back some voters who maybe have just recently leaned against you. After all, McCain was up in the polls, you know, in the middle week of September,
right,
when he reached his peak. In the national poll, he was ahead. In many, many key states, he was leading. And that's all been lost in the 2 or 3 weeks since then. And what he needs is to try to get back to the point. And what we're talking about is appealing to, 5 to 10% of the electorate. It's certainly not appealing to everyone.
It's hard to believe anybody's undecided at this point, but I guess so, huh?
It is really quite remarkable that there are some few undecided. I bet friends of mine in the spring that by mid-July that the race would be pretty well locked in for a couple of reasons. One is that was the long-term pattern. Say even going back as far as 1996, Dolan Clinton, once we got to mid-July, their numbers pretty much got locked in. There were little blips for the conventions, but pretty much what we saw on July 15th, we saw in the first week of November. This year, things were far more unsettled, and it's not real clear to me why. I think one reason might be that McCain was effective in making people a little uncomfortable with Obama on the issue of experience. Republicans were very uncomfortable, at least many were uncomfortable with McCain because he wasn't as true blue on conservative issues as many of them liked. And so there probably was some greater uncertainty about the candidates this time for those reasons.
We're going to welcome phone calls. Our phone lines, I think this is terrific. I love the fact you're so politically engaged or full at this moment. We're responding to the vice presidential debate because we haven't had a chance to do that, and also because our guest was at the debate at Washington University in St. Louis, where he is a professor of public policy and political science. Of course, also previewing tomorrow night's presidential debate. We'll look at the economy as well. We'll be talking about how at least vice president candidate Sarah Palin has gone fairly negative in the last few days, and whether or not that's a harbinger of things to come in the last 29 days before the election. We need to look at the Senate seats and the House seats. The Times had an interesting piece today entertaining the idea that a conservative era may be nearing an end. We'll ask Professor Smith whether or not he thinks that's the case. And take your phone calls. Keep the number in mind. It's 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655 for you to join our conversation. I'm Kathleen Dunn. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We go to your phone calls now for Professor Stephen Smith, who is a professor of public policy, political science at Washington University in St. Louis, and start with Wendy from Oconomowoc. Hi, Wendy.
Hi.
Hi.
Yes, I was very initially impressed with Sarah Palin at the debate, but the more I listened to her, she just seemed like she was very well coached. And she also, this winking and folksy, the more I heard it, the more that started to turn me off. And I just, and her refusal to answer questions that Gwen Ifill put to her and to go in an entirely different direction, I just felt that she was, as my husband put it, it seemed as though we were playing American Idol with this.
Mm.
And I hadn't thought of it that way, but my husband, who's more of an independent, was really shocked and said, is this what it's coming to? In this country that we're playing American Idol with this presidential debates. And, you know, the fact that she is going negative, I hear that in the paper and in the media, but I've also read in the paper that, you know, she is under allegations from her own state for misuse of power. And I just, you know, in that situation with her brother-in-law, the trooper or whatever it is, you know, and you hear very little about that, but whenever it seems like whenever she makes these allegations, it's right there front and center. So, and I know it's you were talking about how it can be difficult to go negative in these debates, and I'm glad that they didn't bring it up in the debates, but I think that they have to, the Democrats have to address this, because it all seems to be pretty one-sided to me.
Thanks, Wendy. Was she too folksy, Professor Smith?
Well, you know, I'm sure she was well-coached, but also coached to be herself. I think there was a feeling that in the media interviews over the previous week or so before the debate, that she, you know, just didn't react in a natural way, wasn't comfortable with the setting, and that she should be a little bit more willing to show her personality. And I think in some circles, frankly, that went over very well. I'm sure that people who don't like her were put off by it, but there's a lot of projection going on here, and I think her folksiness probably was on balance kind of a strong suit. Nevertheless, she was well coached. There was no doubt that she was going to get out her lines, whatever the question was. And Gwen Ifill, I thought, was honestly exceptionally tolerant. I heard her say yesterday in one of the news interview programs, where she was kind enough to kind of explain her role there, that she didn't really feel that it was her job to press them too hard. She could insist that they answer a question or repeat the question in the follow-up period, but it wasn't for her to badger anyone. That was, you know, more for each candidate to emphasize. She was a moderator, not an inquisitor, I think is her basic view. So I agree with Wendy that she was coached. She certainly was working on this for a long, long time. Now, I would have, you know, if I was a moderator, I'll have to be frank, I probably, and one of the candidates told me that I'm not going to answer your question, I'm going to answer.
Right.
Give you the
that
answer
was a
I
dramatic
want.
Response.
Yeah, my next question might be, well, what question do you want to answer next?
Oh, I wish you'd been asking the question. It would have been a good one.
And Troopergate, you know, I think the situation there is that the national media has been reporting events when events occur. So, you know, recently, I think just yesterday, there over the weekend, there was an announcement about who was going to be interviewed as a part of the investigation. So it got some coverage again. But, you know, honestly, very little is likely to come out of that investigation before the election, at least the way I have read about it. So there's not going to be a lot of news that's going to be digested, I think, before the election on that.
We haven't talked, and let's do this for just a moment, about the 35 Senate seats and all of the House seats that right. people will be voting on all over the country. The news reports over the weekend indicated that the Democrats could pick up as many as 6 Senate seats and 17 seats in the House. Is that overly optimistic on their part?
No, I think those are kind of middle-of-the-road projection. Hmm. My friends in the political science business actually have pretty sophisticated models of this, and that's probably about where the average model shows the results. It's hard for the Democrats to pick up more than 6. It's very difficult to find an additional Senate seat once you get up to about 6 or 7. That means that the Democrats with 51 seats now would get up to maybe 57 or 58. Of course, 60 votes are required to invoke cloture against a filibuster, so they're not likely to have a filibuster-proof Senate. If the Democrats get up to that range, then there will be a great deal of attention placed on the moderate Republicans, the few that are in the Senate, the Olympia Snows and a few others, who from time to time have been willing to vote with the Democrats on domestic issues especially. So that seems reasonable. In the House, you know, the Democrats picked up a large number of seats last time, and those were probably the easiest to win seats. This time, it's becoming more and more difficult to win a seat from a Republican. The result is that the 15-20 pickup prediction is really quite reasonable, and it's just hard to imagine them winning much more than that. But that 15 or 20 vote pickup will make the House pretty solidly Democratic. That means that really the focus in the next Congress is likely to be the Senate, because it's going to be right there on the margin of whether filibuster can kill legislation or not.
Professor Steve Smith is our guest, director of the Center on the Economy, Government, and Public Policy, a professor of political science at Washington University in St. Louis, and he was at the vice presidential debate last week. We're talking about that, which everybody still is, even though it was a couple days ago. And tomorrow's presidential debate, we're looking at what's happening on the stock market. We're looking at, a number of issues. What about a conservative era? Is it the end of a conservative era, as a piece in the New York Times suggested this morning? And we'll welcome many more of your phone calls. I know you're real anxious to talk about all of this. Please just give us a second. We'll return to your calls. Thanks, Wendy, for yours. If you'd like to join us, the number is 800-486-8655. I'm Kathleen Dunn. I'm joined in the studio by our wonderful producer, Rhonda Fanning, and we are here to ask for your support of Wisconsin Public Radio. As you know, your contribution makes the work that we do here every day possible. It's easy to make a donation. All you have to do is go online at WPR.org or call toll-free 888-202-2552. And hello again, Rhonda.
Good morning, Kathleen. That's right. This hour we have $3,000 as our goal, and we still have about $2,100 to raise, so we're getting there. Please call now. Make yours the next pledge. You can log on at WPR.org or call toll-free at 888-202-2552.
Rhonda, of course, she is as timely as a person can be when choosing topics and guests. And this show has attracted many loyal listeners who want to hear in-depth discussions that go way behind the headlines. And I really want to thank Rhonda for all that hard work. We just have fabulous guests on this program, and it makes it, I think, the best political conversation that you're hearing anywhere, certainly on the radio. And we thank you for that, Rhonda. It's fun to talk politics this year.
It certainly is. And after those long weekends of news, you tune in each and every Monday morning to hear Kathleen discuss all things political through the primary season to now the run-up to the election in November. We've been from a long way from our live remote there in Dubuque, Iowa, for the Iowa caucuses. It's been a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And so please call now. We're inching towards that $3,000 goal. Make yours the next pledge at WPR.org, or you can give one of our volunteers a call at 888-202-2552.
And of course, it's pretty easy for you to contribute here. We talk about how easy it is, but in the case of contributing to Wisconsin Public Radio, it is pretty easy. All you have to do is go online at WPR.org or pick up the phone and call 888-202-2552. In just a few seconds, you'll be making your pledge, and then you'll be on your way. So go to WPR.org online or call 888-202-2552. And no matter how you do it, you'll be supporting Wisconsin Public Radio, and we really do appreciate it. Let's tell you again that we have a goal of $3,000 this hour. We're at $917 right now. So thanks very much for all of your support, and please be as generous as you can to continue all our great political conversations. And we're back with Professor Stephen Smith and talking the vice presidential debate, the presidential debate, all things political, which we always have on Mondays. And we go back to phone calls. Janet from Rock Springs. Thanks for waiting, Janet. Hi.
Hi. First, I just want to tell everybody I do give every month, and everybody really should because it's that important. But anyway,
thank you, Janet.
You're welcome. But it is that important. But anyway, I was appalled by Sarah Palin in the debate. First of all, her folksiness was a total turnoff to me. When she didn't answer the questions, the two things that came to my mind personally is either she didn't know the answers or she was too good to answer the question. She was better than other people. I think this negativity she has come up with is I can't even find a word of how appalled I am by it. It is just beyond awful. And I just hope that people can see the real deal about her, that she, you know, this is a lie. This is an out-and-out lie. And I think she lies. I have no respect for her, and so I just hope people see her for the real person she is. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Janet. Not a lot of support so far, at least from members of our audience, Professor Smith.
No, and you know, responses to a debate like this are always very polarized and fall along partisan lines. It is true that Governor Palin has attracted derision from many people, and they didn't see much in the debate, I'm sure, that changed their mind. You know, my own view of Governor Palin is that there is an element of you could say political immaturity here. I think she has the IQ for the job. I don't think that's the problem. Clearly, she doesn't have a great depth of experience, but we oftentimes elect people to high office who seem bright and the right person at the right time. But, you know, it's clear the way she's handled herself in these interviews and then in the debate that this is a bit of a struggle for her. So in the debate, I think that she was coached to make sure that she got out her lines, because then at least she could, address the camera and address the national audience with some confidence. Even if it wasn't a good answer to the question or even relevant to the question, she would have a coherent statement. She started out, I think, pretty well. I agree with the general view that things became more difficult for as the debate went on. I think in part because she ended up repeating those lines several times, and that certainly does lose effectiveness and turns people off.
Mm-hmm. Well, she's become, unfortunately for her, too easy to satirize. The Saturday Night Live thing, I thought they did a brilliant piece on Saturday, because it's also fairly easy to satirize Joe Biden, and they did a great job on him. But
sure. In
terms of her mannerisms and folksiness and all of that, it's just too easy to laugh. And I don't think that serves her well, does it?
No, and it's one of those things where you get kind of set up for the kill. And I think in some respects, it's unfortunate that in this day and age, someone who has celebrity status like her, and we can think of, celebrities from Hollywood types, who maybe unfairly get treated and satirized, and it's very, very difficult for them to overcome that reputation, and very quickly, with just amazing speed, Governor Palin, I think, now finds herself in that position.
Right. I just wish, and this is just a matter of the use of language, but I keep thinking of my 8th grade English teacher, God bless her, Ms. Henneberg, who used to walk into the room whistling every day. She was a fabulous whistler. But she was such a stickler for language, and I just wish somebody would tell everybody in politics how to pronounce the word nuclear. If I have to go through another how many years of nuclear instead of nuclear, that's all. Just get the word right.
Well, we thought we had gotten past that
when
President Bush botched it a couple of times early in his administration. That made everyone self-conscious about it. Apparently not Governor Palin.
Right, yeah. Thanks, Janet, very much for your phone call. Let us go to Marty from Douglas County next. Hi, Marty.
Hi, good morning. Well, I'm pretty much going to pile on what everybody else has said and take a little different tact, perhaps. She really reneged on her agreement to take part in this debate, and I think anyone who likes the Dick Cheney style of being vice president would love Sarah Palin. Neither of them are following the rules. Unfortunately, Cheney has decided to not follow the constitutional rules as they are set up. But I disagree with your guest, Kathleen, that this debate didn't change anyone's minds. I heard two people on public radio on Friday saying, two very intelligent conservative voters who said, after watching this debate, there's no way they're voting for the McCain ticket.
Really?
Yeah. One was on Joy's show and one was on another public radio program.
Hmm.
And, you know, if you sort of, tease that out to a percentage of the population, I really think this debate turned a tide. And just as a little sort of side note, I was in Ohio about a week and a half ago visiting family, and while I was there, I worked on the Obama campaign calling people. I probably called 200 people. 50 of them were home. It was during the day. 10 of them were voting for McCain. 10 were voting for Obama. 30 of them had no idea who they were voting
for. Oh, my goodness.
I just found that astonishing. And it wasn't like they were stupid people who weren't paying attention. They were all very engaged, 70 and 80-year-olds, many of them, who knew what the issues were, talked to a guy who really thought Michelle Obama was fabulous, thought Palin was a huge mistake. It was really interesting. This was just before the first presidential debate, and I really wish I had been there afterwards to make calls again. But I'm just stunned. I was stunned by that.
Are you stunned by that, Professor Smith?
Well, I don't necessarily disagree with Marty at all, actually. I do tend to second-guess my own judgments and look for a little concrete evidence that the public nationwide is responding to something in a fairly systematic way. And, you know, there is some evidence, the best of which is that the CNN and CBS polls show that the public thinks that Biden won the debate by a substantial margin, 15, 16, 17 points in the two polls. So I think, Marty, you know, you might be right. We have seen a substantial drop in McCain's polling numbers. My guess, though, is that that's better attributed to the economic mess and his response to it. The economic mess because the Republicans are the party in the White House, and his response to it, which zigged and zagged over the course of about 10 days. And I think people simply care more about that than they do about this debate. On the other hand, I agree completely that the debate probably didn't help the McCain candidacy much. It probably it shifted our attention away from those awful interviews that she did, and her candidacy may end up being a drag on the McCain ticket. But the debate itself probably, my guess is it probably will not be judged to have had a major effect.
Mm-hmm. Marty, thank you so much for your call. Do you think that McCain is wishing that he had chosen somebody who had really strong economic credentials, somebody like Mitt Romney at this point?
Well, maybe. You know, in the final analysis, it seemed to be coming down to Mitt Romney or Governor Tim Pawlenty of Minnesota. Romney had, of course, the strong business background, but he had some liabilities too on religious grounds. There was concern about him on the Christian right, so he wasn't the perfect candidate. Tim Pawlenty, of course, as governor, didn't have a lot of known experience on economic, certainly not national economic affairs, but he had many of the qualities of Governor Palin, conservative, younger, a bit of a reputation as a reformer within his state. But, of course, he was not female, which probably made a big difference here, too. So there were some other choices, and I doubt if the McCain campaign is spending any time second-guessing themselves on this. It would be pointless to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But at the time they made this choice, and I think I say they, it probably really was Senator McCain, they had sort of exhausted their message that Obama wasn't qualified, and the Obama campaign seemed to have weathered that. Biden was, at least initially, a very popular choice as vice president, and then the Democrats had a very successful convention. And it was looking like maybe McCain had reached his peak, and that was just short of the mark, so that he needed to shake up the process. And as I think we've seen in the months since then, that his inclination then is to do something that's a little out of the ordinary, fly off to Washington, do something that's a little unpredictable,
yes,
that brings attention and shows that he's a bit of a maverick. He likes to demonstrate that, and I think the Palin candidacy is just part of that larger decision-making style of Senator McCain. And, of course, she was a big hit successfully. The real problem for McCain at the time was really even to get through the Republican convention. The hurricane caused some problems. Of course, they didn't really anticipate that. But he was going into a convention in which 60% of the delegates or so were McCain delegates. They were going to support him no matter what. But the other 40% really weren't too thrilled with McCain. They were more conservative than McCain. And yet, he needed to get a big bounce out of that convention. He needed to do something that would energize his party. And you know, Governor Palin did that marvelously. And so by the middle of September, a week or so after that Republican convention, he was riding high, so high that he was ahead in the polls. I don't think even Senator McCain could have predicted the difficulties that Governor Palin has had since then.
Right. Professor Steve Smith, our guest, a few more phone calls in a moment here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. All things political this hour, and we go next to Jeff from Phillips. Hi, Jeff. Hello, Jeff. Are you there? Sorry, Jeff. We go to Randy next. Hi, Randy.
Hi. Yes, I just have a question. First of all, I am a Democrat, but I do have a lot of respect for the right and for McCain, and this was a difficult decision for me. But don't you think it's a mistake when they're trying to emulate Truman, when what Truman did was he was never an eye winker. He was never sort of fake or sneaky. When he had fun and was what you might call insulting, no one got hurt, and he backed it up with true courage, like going directly to privately to the Ku Klux Klan, maybe at his own peril, where nothing like that backs up Sarah Palin's eye winking. And this sort of, you know, my I don't know who it was, somebody, a relative would say, you know, an eye winker always causes problems. And that sort of sneakiness, not backed up by courage, doesn't befit McCain. And so, with the great respect I have of McCain, now it really solidly moves me over to, I'm a Democrat anyway, but I struggled because of my great respect for folks of, because I am also, you know, religious, and it was a struggle for me not to support McCain, but with her, nothing backing that courage. Don't you think it's a real mistake for them to claim Truman-esque courage and not have any to back it up with her?
Professor Smith.
Well, I mean, clearly it's Senator McCain's record that serves as the basis for any meaningful historical comparison with someone like President Truman, I think. But I think Jeff's comments are show the difficulty that the McCain campaign has now with Governor Palin. She adds, they hoped, a certain sensibility that she would resonate with people, that the soccer moms would say, yeah, she's one of us, that the folksiness is, you know, kind of how we behave, and wouldn't it be great if one of us was in the White House? But there's a fine line between doing that effectively and appearing to be a lightweight, appearing to be silly, and treating the most serious problems facing the country in a lighthearted way. And I think she went too far during the debate. I think she was trying to, you know, pour on the personality when, you know, the public at least in these difficult times are looking for someone to pour on sensibility, and so she was not nearly as effective as she should have been. You know, there is a real truth in campaigns. People do not like to vote for someone who's has an unlikable personality. They like to go for the more likable candidate. We hear about likability. It is important that you have a sense of humor. It is important that you smile, and it's important that you show empathy. But doing that successfully and in the right way is a real talent. And Governor Palin, I think, did suffer, especially late in that debate.
One final question for you. The New York Times had an interesting, this is worth, I think we'll do a whole talk show on this at some point soon. The headline of one of their column sections today is the era of dominance over for conservatives? Just briefly, how would you answer that?
there's evidence that we may be on a verge of an important change. Public opinion polls show that the public is eager to move on environmental problems, on infrastructure, on health, on education, and that it's shifted away from the view that government should play no role in addressing these problems to a view that we have to address these things, and we have to do it at the federal level. So that certainly is a shift in the liberal direction. Nevertheless, the public is conflicted on some things. The public still doesn't like high taxes. The public doesn't like big government. There's a great deal of conflict in the public about how to address problems like Medicare and Social Security. So there has been a shift. It's an important shift, but it's not an overwhelming shift, and it's not one without conflict.
Professor Smith, thank you so much for being with us.
My pleasure.
Love these
always,
discussions.
Kathleen.
Thank you. Professor Steve Smith, he's a frequent guest, as we have him with us for all things political every Monday at 9, professor of political science at Washington University in St. Louis, and he was at the vice presidential debate. We are here now with Rhonda Fanning, who's running from place to place here this morning. I'm joined in our studio now by Rhonda Fanning, who is the producer of this program. And we're here to ask your support for Wisconsin Public Radio. Your contribution, as you must well know by now, makes the work of WPR possible. It's very easy to make your donation. Just go online at WPR.org or call toll free at 888-202-2552. Hello again, Rhonda.
Hi, Kathleen.
Hi, Rhonda.
Hi. That's right. We have a goal this hour of $3,000, and so far we've raised about half of that. So we have halfway to go, but we have a whole 10 minutes to get there. Make yours the next pledge. Pledge now securely online at WPR.org. Or you can call toll-free 888-202-2552.
And as you know, you're such an important part of this program in terms of contributing. You listen to us. You call in with your questions, which you did for Professor Smith. And you're always there with really fine analysis of whatever it is we're talking about. You can call and email audience services with your comments, of course, about this program.
And you also support this program with your financial contribution. This program would not be able to be on the air without it. If you haven't given before, please go online at WPR.org or you can give us a call at 888-202-2552 to make your pledge of support. Wisconsin Public Radio wouldn't be what it is without you and your input and your support.
You support the things that are valuable in your life. We all do that, certainly. And I know that you who are listening right now value WPR, so we ask you to take a moment right now and pledge to go online at WPR.org or call toll-free 888-202-2552 with your donation. Any amount will help support the programming on Wisconsin Public Radio. Pledge online, make a call. The number again is 888-202-2552 or pledge at WPR.org.
The Ideas Network has worked hard. Ben Marins, Kathleen Dunn, Joy Cardine covering this election. We bring you everything you need to know during this long election season. In the early days, we had as many presidential candidates as possible as guests. Then we brought you the live NPR coverage from all of the debates, live broadcast from Dubuque at the Iowa caucuses. It certainly was. And we've had guests on all the time to address the big issues of this election: health care, the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, the economy, the price of oil.
You know, you can depend on us for really important issue discussion every day, and we need to depend on you to help fund our important work. Make your pledge now online at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
Listeners who rely on Wisconsin Public Radio are the most dependable source of income for this station. So please pledge online securely on our website, WPR.org, or you can give one of our volunteers a call at 888-202-2552. Your contribution provides essential support for the programming you hear on Wisconsin Public Radio.
You might be able to make a $1,000 contribution, and that $1,000 makes this service available to everyone. Help us stay strong, continue to grow with a leadership contribution. Pledge online at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552 right now.
Is it important to you to stay informed of state, regional, and world events? At Wisconsin Public Radio, and on this program in particular, Monday morning's All Things Political, you get that information, commentary, and even some suggested reading material. We have programs that help you clear your mind and even entertain you, sometimes even entertain you. Support all the programming you value securely online at WPR.org, or again, that toll-free number is 888-202-2552.
Thanks very much, Rhonda, for all your terrific work. Just a reminder that you can pledge through the news, 888-202-2552, and pledge for All Things Political and all these terrific conversations that we have as we are 29 days away from a presidential election. Thanks also to Rhonda for producing this hour with Professor Smith, and thanks to Rhonda for doing on-air production. We've had three Rhondas. You've been three people here today.
I have many hats.
Yeah, you do. Thanks so much. And thanks, everybody, for all of your calls. Our goal is $3,000 this hour. We're about halfway there. So call and say you love political conversation of this kind and like it regularly and appreciate all the guests. Thanks so much for all of your help, everybody. We have news coming up from National Public Radio, and we'll return with another hour of conversation on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.